Uchailu put an affectionate hand to his arm. My husband makes me proud this day. He returns our land to us, as the old words have foretold.
I've explained it to you a dozen times, Uchailu. I am not your husband. You have simply misinterpreted the old words. It only means we must do this together, and we haven't done it yet. I wish you would have come with me without bringing everyone else. I don't even know if this will work. We could be killed.
She patted his arm reassuringly. The Kaharin has come. He can do anything. He will return our land.
She left him to his thoughts and started back to the camp.
All our people should be with us. It is their right.
She stopped and turned back.
Will we be leaving soon, Kaharin?
Soon, Richard said absently. She started off again.
I will be with our people when you are ready for me.
The entire Baka Banmana nation was camped behind them. Thousands upon thousands of tents were spread out over the hills like mushrooms after a month of rain. He hadn't been able to talk them out of coming, to convince them to wait, so they were all here, with him. Richard sighed. What difference did it make? If he was wrong, and this failed, he had no reason to worry about all the Baka Banmana being disappointed in him. He would be dead. Warren and Sister Verna quietly came up behind.
Richard, Warren said, can we talk to you?
Richard continued to stare out at the storms.
Of course, Warren.
He cast a glance back.
What's on your mind?
Warren pushed his hands up the opposite sleeves of his robes. Richard thought it made him look very wizard-like when he did that. Warren was going to someday end up being Richard's idea of what a wizard ought to be. Wise, compassionate, and charged with knowledge Richard could only wonder at. If they didn't all die, that was.
Well, Sister Verna and I were talking about what happens after you get through the valley. Richard, I know what you want to do, but we have run out of time. There never was enough time to begin with. Tomorrow is winter solstice. It can't be done.
Just because you don't know how to do something, that does not mean it can't be done.
I don't understand.
Richard smiled at him.
You will. You will understand in a few hours.
Warren looked away toward the valley. He idly scratched his nose.
If you say so, Richard.
Sister Verna said nothing. Richard was still trying to get used to her not arguing with him whenever he said something oblique. He wasn't sure she didn't want to.
Warren, about the prophecy, the one about the gateway and the winter solstice, are you sure it's about this winter solstice?
Warren nodded.
And if there were an agent with an open box of Orden and the Skrinbone, are those the only elements needed to open the gateway, to tear the veil?
A hot breeze ruffled Warren's hair.
Yes. But you told me Darkenrall is dead. There is no agent.
It sounded more like a worried question than a statement.
Must the agent be alive?
Sister Verna asked. Warren shifted his weight to the other foot.
Well, not in principle, I guess. If he were somehow called back into this world, but I don't see how that could be done. But if it were done, that would be all that was needed.
Richard sighed in frustration.
And then this spirit agent could do the things the living agent would have done?
Suspicion crept onto Warren's face.
Well, yes and no. It would require another element. A spirit cannot perform the physical requirements necessary to complete the covenant. He would need a coadjutor.
You mean the spirit could not perform certain of the tasks needed, so he would need hands that would work in this world?
Yes. With a helper, a spirit could do what was needed. How could an agent be called back into this world? I don't see how that could be accomplished.
Sister Verna glanced away.
You had better tell him.
Richard pulled his shirt up and showed Warren the scar.
Darkenrall burned me with his hand when I unintentionally called him back into this world. He said he was here to tear the veil.
Warren's eyes opened wide. His worried gaze darted to the sister and then back to Richard.
If Darkenrall is an agent, as you said, and he has someone to help him, then we are only one element away from destruction. Skrinbone. We need to know.
Richard pushed the Mriswith cape back over his shoulder.
Sister Verna, would you help me?
What is it you would like me to do?
The first time you told me how to try to touch my Han, I decided to concentrate on a mental image of my sword. But that time, the first time, I used a background to put it against. It was something from the Book of Magic I told you about.
the Book of Counted Shadows. When I tried to touch my Han with the sword on that background, something happened. I was somehow in Dahara, in the People's Palace, where the boxes are. I saw Darkin Rawl. He saw me, too, and spoke to me. He told me he was waiting for me.
Sister Verna's eyebrows lifted. Did this ever happen again?
No. It frightened the wits out of me. I never used that background again. I think if I use that background now, I may be able to see what is happening there.
She folded her hands together before herself. I've never heard of such a thing, but it may have something to do with the magic of Orden. It would not be the first thing about you that astonished me. It could be real, or just a fear, like a dream.
I need to try. Would you sit with me? I'm afraid of not being able to pull back.
Of course, Richard. She sat down on the ground and held up a hand. Come, I will be with you.
Richard pulled the Mirthwith cape around himself as he sat down, folding his legs.
This thing hides my Han. Maybe it will work to keep Darkin Rawl from seeing me this time.
Richard relaxed himself as he held hands with Sister Verna. He concentrated on the mental image of the sword against the black square with a white border, as he had done the first time. As he concentrated, seeking the calm center, something began to happen. The sword, the black square, and the white border all began to shimmer as if seen through heat waves, the same as the first time. The solid form of the sword softened, becoming transparent, and then vanished. The background dissolved. Once again, Richard was looking into the Garden of Life at the People's Palace. He searched the filmy image, seeing white bones where before he had seen burned bodies. He remembered them lying over the short walls, in bushes and sprawled on the grass. They were much as he remembered, only now they were mostly exposed bones. Richard saw the white, glowing figure of Darkin Rawl, but he was not standing before the stone altar, before the three boxes of Orden. He was near the circle that had held white sand. The sand had not been there the last time he had seen this vision. A woman in a long brown skirt and white blouse knelt at Darkin Rawl's feet, bent over the circle of sand. Richard willed himself closer. She was drawing lines in the sparkling sorcerer's sand. Richard remembered some of the symbols she was drawing. Darkin Rawl had drawn them before, when he had opened the box. Richard watched her hand moving slowly, carefully, as she drew the lines of spells. Her right hand, he noticed, was missing the little finger. In the center of the circle, in the center of the sorcerer's sand, sat a round object. Richard went closer. It was carved all over with beasts, just as the prelate had described. Richard wanted to scream with rage. Just then, Darkin Rawl lifted his face and looked right into Richard's eyes. A smile slowly spread on his lips. Richard didn't know if Darkin Rawl was really looking at him or not, but he didn't wait to find out. With desperate effort, he forced the image of the sword back into his mind, like slamming a door, at the same time banishing the black and white background. With a gasp, Richard forced his eyes open. His chest heaved. Sister Verna's eyes came open, too.
Richard, are you all right? You've been at it an hour. I felt you trying to pull back, so I pulled with you. What happened? What did you see?
An hour?
Richard was still trying to catch his breath.
I saw Darkin Rawl and the Skrinbone. He had a woman there helping him draw spells in the sorcerer's sand.
Warren leaned over Richard's shoulder.
Maybe it was just a vision of a fear. It may not have been real.
Warren could be right, Sister Verna said. She drew her lower lip through her teeth as she thought.
What did the woman look like?
Wavy, shoulder-length brown hair. Maybe about your size. She was bent over, drawing in the sand, so I couldn't see her eyes.
Richard pressed his fingers to his forehead as he thought.
Her hand. She was missing the little finger on her right hand.
Warren groaned. Sister Verna's eyes slid closed.
What? What's the matter?
Sister Odette, she said. That's Sister Odette.
Warren nodded confirmation.
She's been gone for close to 6 months. I thought she went to get a boy.
Curse the spirits,
Richard said under his breath. He sprang to his feet. Warren, run and get Duchailu. Tell her we must leave right now. He ground his teeth in frustration. He had thought he had all the time he needed. Well, he still had enough time, if he hurried. Duchailu seemed in a trance as Richard pulled her forward by the hand. With the Sword of Truth in his other hand, Richard was in a world of his own, too. His thundering rage was a match for the angry black clouds. The spells of magic circled them like a pack of dogs around a porcupine, angry and insistent, but holding their distance as they searched for an opening. Wisps of light emerged from the darkness and whirled around them, spiraling down to vanish into an aura that surrounded Duchailu. She seemed to be absorbing the magic, as Sister Verna told him she had done before. Together, they were the completed link Warren had told him the old book said would contain the power and bring the towers down. Through the waves of heat and the boiling mist, Richard saw the first tower. He pulled Duchailu onward, toward the glistening black wall that disappeared into the darkness overhead. Dust and dirt lifted around them as they rushed toward the arched opening in the wall. Spells snatched at them, but their light was sucked to Duchailu. Richard acted without thought, not knowing what drove him onward and not trying to stop it. If he was to succeed, if he was to save Kaelin, he had to let those things within himself guide him. He had to hope that if he truly had the gift, it would react on instinct, as Nathan had told him, and do what was needed. Duchailu seemed not to notice the sparkling black sand they stood on in the center of the tower. She seemed lost in a private spell of her own, in the power passed down to her from those who built the towers and took her people's land. So far, she had done her half of what was needed. She had protected him. Now, Richard had to do his part. On impulse, holding her hand tight in his, he lifted the sword high in the other, pointing it straight up. He lost himself in the fury of the magic, letting it overwhelm him. He felt the heat of it in the calm center he had always sought. He let the rage fill the void.